seen me a lot, but that is who I am. And like I said earlier, today is a super special day. It's a tough day because after 4, 5, 6 years, you fall in love with these guys and then they grow up, right? And we don't want them to do that, but we want them to do that at the same time. And so, is my mic not working, Rob? I'm good, okay. And so every year, we, just as a reminder of how old we get, I love to go back and look at a few things that happened the year that these students were born. They seem really fresh as I go back and do a quick Wikipedia search to see what happened back in 2002. And it seems like just a few years ago that these were the stories that were dominating our news. The first thing, No Child Left Behind Act. Man, we still talk about that some, right? But that was in 2002. Enron became, they were began an investigation about Enron. So you still talk about stories nowadays, and people will still refer to Enron as if it is in the present, but it was actually quite a long time ago. The Winter Games were in Salt Lake City, Utah. Elizabeth Smart was kidnapped that year. That dominated the news stories a lot. If you remember this scene, this was the DC sniper. Right, 2002 is a great year. It's a great year to be born in. But as we think about, and the worst one was that the Patriots won the Super Bowl again. And so I feel like they've just won it ever since 2002. They just keep winning and winning. But go Tampa Bay this year. We'll see how that works out. But of all these fascinating stories that captured our hearts in 2002, right, as you guys were welcoming a new child into creation and relearning or maybe learning for the very first time parenting and what all this looked like. The story that dominates their life is not a story of what happened the year they were born. The story that is going to dominate their life is this little rascal here. Right, this has dominated the news waves. It's dominated our culture. It's dominated our ethos. It's dominated our interest. And so this generation, this graduating class, this is going to be the story that they tell. And so this has been a challenging year for them, and it will be a challenging year going forward. And so this morning, what I want to do is to offer some simple things that I believe are at the heart of Jesus, of what does it mean to follow Jesus for these guys, but I'm also sensitive that you're in the room, and I want to challenge you today also. This group of graduates, we have 9 of them this year, and they're a phenomenal group of students. They're all over the map. They go to a ton of different schools. They have a ton of different interests and hobbies. They've got different makeups. But one of the things that I love about this group of students is that in so many ways they have stayed connected in the game and they have chosen to lead. They've chosen to be present. This group of students has incredible hearts of servants, and they're still in the process of growing up and learning and developing. But they do so many things so well. And so my heart aches today to say, see you later, right? But I'm super excited about the possibility of them growing up and the men and women in Christ that they will grow up to be. And so this morning, before we get started to talk about them, I'm going to give us a few minutes to catch a slideshow and giving you an opportunity to know them yourself.
I'm growing up in the Lord. Oh, I'm getting stronger, turning back no longer. I'm growing up in the Lord. I'm growing up in the Lord. I make mistakes, but that's part of growing up. Part of growing up in the Lord. His understanding is what I need the most. I'm staying close to His word. Shout it from heart when I am sick in His arms, and I am learning to do His will. Hearing His call, though I stumble and fall, I can get up and keep growing still. I'm growing up in the Lord. Oh, I'm getting stronger, turning back no longer. I'm growing up in the Lord. I'm growing up in the Lord. Now as I'm growing, I'm learning what to say, learning how to walk.
walk in the light. I'm made aware of the devil every day, learning how to handle the fight. Tempted by wrong, he keeps me ready and strong, so I can handle the tempter's snare. Jesus is mine, and since he's there all the time, I am protected within his care.
I'm growing up in the Lord. Oh, I'm getting stronger, turning back no longer. I'm growing up in the Lord. I'm growing up in the Lord. I'm growing up in the Lord. Oh, I'm getting stronger, turning back no longer. I'm growing up in the Lord. I'm growing up in the Lord.
I'm growing up in the Lord.
I'm growing up in the Lord.
Da 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 da.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, we bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God of Jacob, oh God of Jacob, oh God of Jacob.
I'm never ending love, and I. clear my longing thirst for the water that comes from above.
And so those are our graduates, and that is the people that I invite you today to be a part of their life in some fairly simple ways. Whether you, if you didn't come today with a gift, that is fine. This thing was never about gifts or gift cards or monies or books. This day was always about your words, your blessing, the things that you can speak into the life of our students as a part of their larger church family and to be a part of that. And so as I mentioned earlier, these days are always a tough day, even though these students are around for another month or so. We watch them, we fall in love with them, and then they grow up and they move away and they do things that college students and adults ought to do, and so we applaud that. And yet, as I mentioned, that this year has been a crazy, difficult year. This group of students that we have is a very steady group of kids, and yet as I talk to them, their anxiety levels have been through the roof. Of all the uncertainty that coronavirus placed on their senior year, of all the things that they missed, of all the last things that they did not get to experience, but even now here in the middle of summer, the anticipation of what next year may look like or what it may not look like, there's an incredible amount of uncertainty. And so for you guys, here's what I want to do today, is that this season just stinks, right? I mean, it's just, ugh, like, there's nothing good about it. But here's what I want to communicate to you guys today is that this season does not define who you are, and that there are incredible opportunities for you guys to grow and to develop, and that at some point in time, this will be a blip on our radar screen. And so for the rest of us, I want to speak to you also because, like, your life is sort of, ugh, also, right? Like, it's a difficult season for faith. It's a difficult season for relationship. It's just a difficult season. And yet I don't want this to define who we are and our characteristics and our attitudes and to become victims of what the world around us is happening. And so this morning I want us to push in to that just a little bit. Very often people will ask this question. They'll say, hey, how's the student ministry doing? Or how are your kids doing? And I get it, like I want my kids to be good now. But as I've told our students and as I think about raising my own children, is that I've never been super interested in raising great adolescents and lousy adults. I've always been a fan of let's point some kids in a bigger direction. And so often I'll say, I don't know, I'll tell you 5 or 6 years from now how well student ministry is going right now. And right, and because of you guys, right, I don't want you just to be great high school kids. I want you to be better college kids, and I want you to be phenomenal young adults and middle-aged adults. And so I've always tried to push us into that kind of thinking. And yet sometimes I think we make this a little bit too difficult, right? I'm sympathetic to these guys that for some of them, I did some quick math, for some of our students, for some of our older students, they have had to listen to me for 500 plus hours. That's a bad day, Todd. That is a bad day, right? Even my wife would agree. That is way too long to listen to you talk. Right? And so in 500 hours, I've rehashed thoughts, I've rehashed concepts, and I say sometimes the same things over and over again because I'm not convinced that this is too complicated. One thing that Meredith and I talk about is, so how do we define sort of our ethos as individuals and as a couple, and how does that leak into ministry? One of the things that we talk about in our home is that we want to be people who help others find and follow Jesus. If you could take the whole gospel, if you could take my whole mission, if you could take everything that I believe that God is doing in my life and in this church, I could boil it down to those 3 or 4 words, is that he wants me to help people find and to follow Jesus. And today, that's what I want to help us do, is help you guys to be a generation that helps people find and follow Jesus as we go down the road. And so this morning, I want us to ask some of those questions. And so as I thought about of all the things that I've shared with these students over the past 5 years, if I had to pull out the list that always makes the cut, today I just want to share some very simple ideas that for all of us, right? Even if you're 40 or 50 or 60, for all of us will radically shift the trajectory of our life. And that right now, if life is sort of, right? If my faith is in a season that's a bit of a desert, right? I believe these things, while incredibly simple to understand, even at almost 45 years old, I'm still wrestling with these things in my life. And so at times my emotions get out of control. My faith gets a little bit weak. My relationships get a little bit dull, because even at 45, while they're simple to understand, I'm still living in this tension of trying to figure out, how do I live these things out consistently day after day, week after week, and month after month. And so this morning I want you guys to hear me, right? So we're in the class, right? You guys are in the couch, and we're talking, right? But it feels different up here. But I'm really talking to you guys along with the rest of us. A few simple things that I think we have to do is, number one, I went too far. There we go. First thing I think is incredible, if we're going to be a generation of people that live to help people find and follow Jesus, is that at the end of the day, we have to always put other people ahead of ourselves. There's nothing in culture that points us in that direction. The messages that we hear, it's always about you make a name for yourself. And these kids have lived in this adolescent culture that every bit of marketing is about you stand out, you make a name for yourself, you excel. This is about you. You can have it your way. And yet at the very heart of the gospel, it says something radically different. That says, no, you are not the most important person in the narrative. Other people are. And so as I find and follow Jesus myself, and as I lead into that, Jesus led the way for us in living that kind of lifestyle. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. However, in humility, value others above yourselves, that lift others up into a place of more importance than you, not looking to your own interest, but of you to the interest of others." And young people, I promise you, if you want to leave a legacy of making a difference in the lives of other people, and we miss this simple idea, you can spend your whole life being super busy and yet you will not make a difference. That we have to live a life that we value others with our time, with our resources, with our passions, with our interest, with our devotion. And yet we're living in a culture that's saying, no, Andrew, it's all about you, bro. It's all about you. And it's an easy story for us to believe. But yet, if I choose to follow Jesus, he's going to say, no, Nick, it's not about you. It's really about other people. And so the first thing I want you to do is to learn how to live a me-first life. The second thing is this, is I want you guys to grow up and to be extra. Right now, my friend Benton is down in the lower lobby with his wife, Kim. And I love this compliment that he gives his wife. I don't know if you don't know Kim. She's not a super big talker, right? She probably hadn't attacked you in the lobby and said, oh, let's talk, right? But she is spectacular in so many ways. And so here's the compliment that Benton gives his wife. My wife, Kim, is so extra. And if you ever get to know Kim, she is so extra. And what I know about Kim is that she has impacted my life and my wife's life and our family's life so much because of her extra. And see, that's something we can all do, is to learn to be extra. Because as I watch, I believe there's a rhythm that says, do the least bit required. Right? If you guys have ever raised children and gone through school, have you ever had to fight the uphill battle of this is enough? Right, this is the bare minimum to pass the test. Maybe some of us work this way, right? Or you work around people that is just barely enough to not get written up or to get fired or to get punished or to get a pink slip or to get laid off or to get fired. It's just enough to pass. But as I think back in my life of the people who have radically impacted my life, every single one of them have been extra people. And I want you guys to grow up and be extra. Freshman year of college, be extra. I want you to be extra with your love. I want you to be extra with your time and with your compassion and with your interest and with your listening skills and with your commitment to be on time to places. And when you get that job, to work harder than anybody else sitting there, I want you to be a generation of extra. And yet as adults, right, it's so easy for us to sort of just get by. But I'm not convinced that people just sneak by really make that much of a difference in our space. You've got something to give. Young people, you've got something to give. Don't bottle it up. Don't push it away. Explore it, flourish in it, live with it, and consistently be extra with the people around you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, this is out of the message, but it says, seize life. Each day is God's gift. Make the most of each one. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it. Be extra. Be extra. The third thing I want us to think about this morning is that to control what you can. One thing that this environment that we're in now has taught us in our belief that we have control over our life, right? This myth that you have some control, that you can pull the punches and make things happen. In 2020, we've learned one thing, is that you have no control. And it is uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. And as we watch Twitter and as we watch Facebook and as we see the emotion that is just leaking out of America right now, I mean, we are on the edge. It is fever pitch. And I think one of those main reasons is because we have lost control. We've lost control of the news. We've lost control of the health. We've lost control of perspective. We've lost control of so many things. And one thing I want you guys to know is that you're always going to live out of control. There are things that are beyond your control, but there are things that are in your control. Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, it's a super old book, but I just continue to go back to it. He talks about this sphere that we have, this circle of concern that's way on the outside, and right now we have a ton of concerns, and you can't fix them. You stay up all day long, you're not going to fix them. You have this circle of influence that for most of this, we don't even have any influence over it. But what we do have is I have my heart and I have my emotions and I have my attitude, and that is the thing that I can control. And so I'm going to just be honest. I think your first year of college isn't going to be what you envisioned it to be. I'm sorry. I wish it was. Like, I wish I could pull some switches and create a bubble, and I wish I could do those things and give it to you, but it's just not going to be that. And I encourage you guys not to be bitter and angsty, but what can you control? You can control doing the best that you can at school. You can control your attitude. You can control your heart. You can control the things that you fill your heart with. In the meantime, you can control the new things that you're learning to do. There are so many things that you can control, and if you'll live in that bubble, I think you can live a rich life. But for all of us, if we live in this larger sphere of things that we can't control, that we can't influence, the anxiety and the animosity and the passions that are misdirected just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so this morning, every one of us have control over some things, and I encourage us to step in to control those. The fourth thing is this, is to live beyond your capacity. And so as we gather here this morning, all of us have been gifted by God to be able to do some things well, and we do some things poorly. So how do I live beyond myself? Right, and I think you guys are crafted incredibly well. You guys are bright and you're kind and you have leadership potential and you have servant hearts. So how do we live beyond ourselves? And I think two really simple ways. It's for all of us to pursue God even when we don't feel like it. Because without the Holy Spirit, I don't have the ability to live beyond myself. That even on my best day, I'm clumsy and I'm broken and I'm weak and I'm sinful. And if people just get Nick, they don't get Jesus. And yet to live in a way that even on some days that I don't feel like pursuing that God, that I don't feel like investing my life, that I don't have the discipline, that I don't really have the want to be more than just being Nick. I encourage all of us to step into those spaces to make room for God to change your heart, to change your life, to fill you. As life sucks it out of us, for the Holy Spirit to fill you and to grow you and to nourish you and to be more. And the second thing is this: when we talk about living beyond our capacity, Mr. Cardin down here is a young scholar. And just a few weeks ago, I was going to call you last night, but I love putting you on the hot seat because I know you like it. A few weeks ago on Twitter, Scholar Cardin said something along these lines. You know, I have come to figure out that it really does matter who you spend time with. If you hang out with people who are happy and successful, you will become happy and successful. And as I read that, there was a window that I was like, man. And then I got angry because I told that rascal that for 5 years. Like, this was one of those things that they heard in class at least 47 times. And then all of a sudden he got it. And he throws it out there on Twitter like he just had this thought that who he spent time with mattered. And he was like, breakthrough, like, hey, internet, here's something you've never thought about, right? Scoundrel. Start taking notes when I talk, right? No, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful because even at, 19 years old, he's come to this realization that, you know what? It really matters. It really matters who's in my circle. And I'm telling you, maybe in second only to pursuing God in your life, to be a person that wants to be shaped, to be a person that wants to make a difference, to be a person that wants to be extra. If you want to be extra, I'm going to tell you, hang out with some extra people. If you want to hang out with some slugs that just get by, I'm going to tell you, you're going to become a person that just gets by. And I want to give you the courage to walk away when you need to walk away. But I'm telling you, finding those kind of people is not easy. And that's why very few of us have those kind of people in our life. But I'm telling you, it will shape your life drastically. And live. I want to live beyond my capacity of being clumsy Nick. I've got to surround myself with people that are brighter than me, that work harder than me, that are wiser, they're more disciplined, that study Scripture more, that give away love better. And see, if I live beyond with people who are beyond me in all those capacities, guess what? I'm still in the process of growing up and fighting this urge to be an 8-year-old kid again. Right? But to live in a bigger circle where I'm constantly challenged, to where I'm made uncomfortable, and I can grow into that only if I have those kind of people in my life. And so the last thing that I want us to talk about this morning is that above everything else is I want you students, and for us, is I want you to leave a legacy worth following. As Corey read this morning in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, a thief comes, they may steal and kill and destroy, yet I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. What if? If people could say that about you. You know, when I spend time with them, they give me life. Not just a little bit of life, but when I am around them, when I'm in their presence, when I am at their feet, I mean, it is just overflowing the kind of things that they fill me up with. What a legacy. Last night, I sat out on my porch with my friend David. David and Tina are in town. David was my bro. Back home, he was my fishing buddy, he was my youth elder, we were carpenters, aspiring electricians, we were all those things, like, and I just love him with my whole heart, and we were talking about people in our life that just this past year have gone on, and one of those was his dad, and his dad's name was Nikki, and Nikki was one of those extra kind of people, and as I stood there at the funeral back this time last year, and I saw thousands, we lived in a town of 12,000, and almost 1,500 people stood in line to talk to the family. Nikki didn't have a college degree. Nikki didn't have money. Nikki didn't live in a nice house. Nikki didn't do fancy vacations. But one thing that Nikki Ryan did is he left a legacy, and he changed every life that he touched. And if you want to talk about extra, Nikki was extra. If you don't talk about putting other people first, Nikki Ryan put other people first. He was exceptional. Just several months ago, our family lost a close friend to diabetes. She was 40 years old, and she was one of the most beautiful women, not physically, but just beautiful women inside and out that I have ever met. One of the top five women that I've ever known in my life. If you were to ask my girls, hey, tell me somebody that has impacted your life, that has left you a legacy, and they would tell you about Miss Jill. Right? She was about 4'11", about 90 pounds, and she was just full of life. She was full of being extra. She was full of putting other people first. And the legacy, even though she stepped out of life at 40 years old, the legacy that she has left has changed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lives just because of the way she chose to live. And in so many ways, she helped the people around her find and follow Jesus. As she passed away, her two kids, Callie, Kate, and Dad Chip, they were cleaning up the house and they were doing some of these things. And we had received a care package from Jill the week before because she loved my kids, and it was always this stuff, right, that just junked your living room or your bedroom and all this stuff that the kids would scream when Miss Jill sent a package. And as they go through the closet and they're cleaning up the space, they find dozens and dozens of these boxes that Jill had gone out and packed up to send to all of the little kids in her life that she loved so much. And even though she was broken and sick in so many ways, she left a legacy. I would love for you guys in college to leave a legacy. There are a lot of legacies that people step out of college that they hope nobody ever knows about. But I would love for you guys to leave a legacy of whether it's college or whether it's workplace, that you know what, that kid works harder than anybody else. That kid is more generous than anybody else. That kid leads better than anybody else. That kid works harder than anybody else. That kid loves and he serves and he finds the misfits. Right? I would love that to be the story of your generation, because you will leave a legacy one way or another. It may be, you can leave that legacy if you want to. But I invite you guys to leave a legacy that when you guys step out of your space, that you changed it. This past week, Wednesday, I was sitting in my office and I was working on this, trying to tease this out, and Meredith sent me this Twitter story that maybe some of you guys have seen. There was a story of Bill Connor. He had a 20-year-old daughter, Abby, that passed away. And 2,600 miles away in Louisiana, there was a young man by the name of Lamont Jack that had, at 20 years old, had a heart attack, and he had simply a matter of days to live. And so the hospitals got together and they took Abby's heart that was healthy and they flew it to Louisiana and gave it to Lamont, and he was able to live. And so the dad, as he processed and wrestled with his 20-year-old daughter being gone, he began to travel across the country on his bike just to create space and to think and to heal. And along that journey, he ends up, after 2,600 miles, he ends up in Louisiana to go visit Lamont Jack. And as they visit, there's this embrace, and then Connor gets a stethoscope and he puts it on his ears, and Lamont unbuttons his shirt and he puts a stethoscope up there and he gets to listen to his daughter's heart. And they just sit there and they embrace and they cry and there's holding, and just this moment that I get to see my heart in the chest of somebody else, and that because I gave my daughter's heart away, that now somebody gets to have life. And the closing scene was this: if you want a legacy, right? So whether you're 18 years old or whether you're 40 years old and you're listening online or you're sitting here today, or whether you're 70, right, this isn't just high school information, this is human information. If you want a legacy, what better legacy could you have than to help other people live? And here's the hard part, is it will cost you your heart. It will cost you your heart. When you can share your heart with people, you help them live. As long as we're distanced, as long as we don't get into the mucky part of it, right? As long as we're sort of hands off, our legacy is challenged. And so this morning, as we think about this, I think one of the most important things is that for us to remember, really, what are we here for? Well, what are we here for in 2020? Right, and there's so many things that are consuming our minds and our emotions and that are challenging us in so many different ways. And I've been spending time thinking and reflecting that even in the life of the church, right, that we are here Listen to me. That we are here because we are on a mission from God to change our space. And for us to grow and to be nourished and to become bigger and to become better, so that as we engage people around us, that they can find and that they can follow Jesus. But as I read and as I consume, as I podcast, one thing that I think the church is in danger of losing is our mission in the middle of the season. That we're just struggling. How do we even get together? How do we get together and be safe? How do we get together and keep everybody happy? And like nobody is winning here. But from my heart, like what I want a church, but my own life for my family, for these students and for you, is for us to be a people that live life on mission. That we live life intentionally about investing in others and making a difference in our space. And so I think it's important that Jesus knew how easily clumsy people like me would get sidetracked and think that next week is really anything other than leaving a legacy and making a difference. And so he invites us on a weekly basis to gather around a table and to take communions that have no real value other than their connection to Jesus Christ. But to say, Nick, I know it's been a hard week and you're stressed and that you got inbox stuff that you haven't dealt with and this person was difficult. Like I get all that, but I need you to come back to me on Sundays and I need you to remember who you really are. I need you to really remember what life is really about and what it's not. I want you to be rooted. I want you to be grounded in me. I don't want you to forget that because I know you're forgetful and I know you're clumsy and I know you miss it. So just check back in. And see, in today, in here just a few minutes, I'm going to finish and Brian's going to lead a song and then we're going to take these emblems that we passed out at the door as a reminder to all of us, as I take the juice and as I take the bread, that you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. And that there's a claim over your life. There's a claim over who you become and what you do. And I know for me, I can't speak for you, for me, I need this. I need this to be reminded, Nick, this is really what your story is. I thank you for being here. And Brian's going to come lead us in a song and we'll participate in communion and we'll have a few more instructions. So let's sing together.